So as the narrative goes on in the Gemara, so he said, yeah, Rabbi Yeshua had said that a snake has a 7-year pregnancy. And the Caesar said, well, I heard from the elders of Athens, that's only 5 years. Right, excuse me, only 3 years. You know, the 5th, 6th, and the 7th. All right, so... Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya said to him, look, they must have experimented with a snake that really, really was pregnant already. Right. And so the Caesar says, but they're very, very smart. All right, so he says, Yeshua Chananya says, we're smarter. So he said, okay, prove it to me. He said, okay, I'll prove it to you. And they make up between them that... if Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya will best them in the arguments, he'll defeat them. He'll bring them to the Caesar. That's how he'll show that he bested them in the arguments. So Rabbi Yeshua asked the Caesar, "How many of them are there?" He said, "There are 60 of them." He said, "Okay, make me a boat with 60 rooms, and in each one of the rooms 60 seats." Right, and you'll see that with that boat, I will bring them to you. Okay. So, to begin to analyze, what's all being alluded to over here. So, pregnancy of a snake, we explained in our last session. Right. I'll just mention that the secret of why they say that the pregnancy of a snake, is like from the 5th year and onwards. Meaning, we say it's a 7-year cycle. They say it's like a... 3-year cycle, 5, 6, 7, right? What by us would be the 5th and 6th and 7th year. They think that that's the whole pregnancy, right? So that the Vilna Gaon explains in his commentary on Agadata is that as we mentioned last session, the pregnancy of Mashiach is a 7-year pregnancy. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Shavua Sheben David, the Shemitah cycle in which Ben David comes, that Mashiach is born at the end of the Shemitah year, and it's a 7-year cycle, right? But a lot of the hard times that are, in the first 4 years, are all types of hard times that befall the Jewish people, right? So the Goyim can't see how the hard times are for the good. The Gamzu L'Toiva, how the hard times are also for the sake of the good, that's only revealed in the Torah, right? The secular mind can't see how the bad serves the good and the bad is a stepping stone towards the good. The regular biochemical mind, the wisdom of philosophy that comes from the biochemical mind can't comprehend this concept that the bad serves the good and the bad is a stepping stone towards the good. That's only something that comes out in Torah. In Torah comes out the whole unity that there's only Hashem, and even the bad is there to serve Him, and even the bad is subservient to Him, and the bad times are stepping stones to the good times. That the Goyim have no hasaga in. They can't comprehend that, right? Secular philosophy has no answer for the existence of evil, right? And it's considered to be a big, great question on God being the one and only. Right, and Judaism teaches that there's only one God for all, and even the bad times come from God, and He's doing it because it's a stepping stone to the good times. Right, that's called Ma'idon Shmaya Tov, Gamzu L'Tova, and the Gentiles can't comprehend that. So what it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin is that things start getting better from the 5th year and onwards. So things are getting good. So the pregnancy of Mashiach, that comes to fix the sin of the snake, right? So the pregnancy of Mashiach is, is 3 years long. The what we would call the 5th and 6th and 7th year, it's 3 years long, right? Because they only imagine that there is a messianic process from the time that they see the good, and things start getting better from the 5th year, right? But in reality, the Torah teaches us that even all the hard times are a part of it. And that's the secret, that the day that the Beis Mishra was destroyed was the day that Mashiach was born and will be born, the Mashiach of every generation. Right? it's born on Tisha B'Av, that the bad times are there to facilitate the good times. Right? So that's what's at the root of the machlokas. Right? The secular wisdom can only see how the good is for the good. They can't see how the bad is for the good also. That's why they only see how the last 3 years of the seven-year cycle is a part of the coming of Mashiach. They can't see how the first four are also part of it. Right? And the Torah, with the Torah, you could see that how even the hard times are also for the sake of the good. Okay. How many are there? There are 60. Right? This is something very deep. Right? It's by no coincidence that there were 60 elders of Athens. And we know in the Sanhedrin there are 70 elders. Right? So the secret behind that is that you know, the world, the physical world, has six edges to it. The three dimensions have six edges, right? The dimension of length has a top and a bottom. The dimension of width has a right side and a left side, right? And the dimension of depth has a in and an out. So there are six edges to the three-dimensional world, and that's why, by no coincidence, the world, as we know, was created in 6 days, parallel to the six edges of the three dimensions, right? They are the experts, right, of all the six edges, right? That 10 is a whole number, so they have a complete understanding of each one of six edges. Like, it, as it were, 10 for each of the six edges, and they have a complete understanding of, you know, the whole physical world, you know, and the branches of wisdom that define the physical world, right? Well, what they're missing is the seventh, Shabbos, right? Just like a goy doesn't have Shabbos, they're missing the aspect of wisdom that's parallel to Shabbos. And what's the aspect of wisdom that's parallel to Shabbos? The Torah itself. The Gemara says in Shabbos that, you know, there may be a machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim, what was the exact date of the giving of the Torah? But everyone admits that the day that the Torah was given was Shabbos. Whatever, you know, whatever the date was, you know, it was a machlokas, but the day the Torah was given was Shabbos. That there's no machlokas, and that's why we speak about the giving of Torah, you know, together with Shabbos in the Shabbos prayer, in the Shachris of Shabbos. Yisbach Moshe Matnas Chelko. You speak about, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the tablets of law. There are allusions to the giving of the Torah, right, in the Shachris of Shabbos, right? That the Torah is the wisdom that's parallel to Shabbos. We have Shabbos, they don't. And that's why we have 70 elders, right? And that's the secret of Shivim Panim Torah. We say that there's 70 faces to the Torah. The Torah is also has the seventh. It has everything that the secular wisdom has, plus this seventh level, which is parallel to the Shabbos, right? So we have 70 elders in the Sanhedrin, right? And now to further understand, you know, where is the seventh? Where is the seventh? So the Sfarim explained, the Maharal, the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon also, they explained the seventh is the center, six edges. Right? Seventh is the center. And that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is the unifying center of the week. You know, for the way that we count, we see all the days adding up together. Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. This is the first day of Shabbos. This is Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. This is the second day of Shabbos. And then we reach Hayom Yom Shabbos Kodesh, the day of Shabbos itself. That all the days unite around Shabbos. It's the first day towards Shabbos, the second day towards Shabbos. Shabbos is the center, and all the other days of the week are like the six edges as they relate to the center, because these days add up to Shabbos. You know, the Goyim that don't have Shabbos, so they don't have unity in their week. So that's why they don't call it first day, they call it Sunday. This day belongs to the sun. Monday, this day belongs to the moon. Right, they don't have any unity in their perception of time and space, and that's why they believe in many gods, because they believe that the different forces, each one has its own source. They can't comprehend that everything comes from the same source. That everything, the fire and the water and, you know, even the opposites, they all come from the same source. That's beyond their comprehension. Right? So even the Greek philosophers that believe in one first cause, but if somewhere things splintered to come from separate causes further down the chain, right? You know, but we say everything all comes directly from God, even the opposites all come directly from God, right? And so that's our perception of time. It's all the different days are the different parts that add up to each other, to Shabbos, and Shabbos is the unifying center that everything is leading to, right? And it's also in life. All the different forces come from the one God. He is the source of all, even for the good and for the bad, for the fire and for the water. All the different opposite edges, they all come from the same source. This is the most basic message of the Torah. Right. And with the Torah, one could see the whole unity that there is in creation. Right? How all these things come from the same divine providence. Right? And in Torah itself, that even though it breaks up into so many different topics, there's by no coincidence six orders of the Mishnah, right? And they are, as far as I'm saying, they're parallel to the six edges of the three-dimensional world. And they're totally different topics. Zoraim talks about the laws of the land, and Moed talks about the laws of the Yom Tovim, and, Noshim, the laws of women, etc., etc. All different topics, seemingly unrelated, right? Because one might more pertain to a farmer, issues that concern a farmer. One more it might pertain to a lawyer, like, an Ezekiel, or a lawyer also may be interested in Noshim, divorce, make a lot of money, in getting involved in that, pertain to marriage, pertain to the sacrificial order, pertain to being pure, right? And it's all one Torah. Now, and a person can't say, I'm just into Zroim. God forbid, you have to be involved in the whole Torah. And the Gemara, indeed, sometimes can ask a kasha from Zroim onto Taurus, and find a way that even though on paper, they're talking about totally different topics, find certain interrelationship, at least mitzad inner logic. Right? It's amazing how the whole Torah talks about different and distinct topics. The Gemara shows how it's all really one, and there's a total interface between all these totally different topics, something which you don't have in secular knowledge. A physicist is not a chemist, and a chemist is not necessarily a biologist, unless he particularly decides to focus on biochemistry. And a biologist is neither, he's certainly not a physicist, and he's not an astronomer, and all different secular wisdoms, they're compartmentalized. There's no unity there, right? So these 60 elders of Athens, right? So they're very good at the six edges, right? And we're going to show this later, how this comes out, that secular wisdom are not in unity, right? So they have to say, and we have the Shivim scheme, the 70 L's parallel to the 70 faces of the Torah, parallel to the 7th, the Shabbos, the center. The Torah has within it all wisdoms, plus, deep understandings that, secular wisdom could never have. Because that's another point about the center. The center doesn't just unite three dimensions, right? If we accept the fact that there are higher dimensions, where are those higher dimensions? We may not be able to see them, but one thing's for sure, geometry teaches the center is the center of all dimensions, where all dimensions meet. Through the center, you could break through to higher dimensions. If you don't have a center, you're stuck within the three dimensions, and you don't even have the three dimensions in unity. If you have the center is where all the different dimensions, the ones you are aware of, and the ones you're not aware of, all dimensions meet at the center. So through the Torah, right, which is parallel to the Shabbos, parallel to the center. Through the Torah, you break through to higher understandings that are way beyond the three dimensions. Right, and they don't have that, so they don't even have the three dimensions of unity, let alone have breakthrough to metaphysics. Their metaphysics is just speculation, whereas we know the metaphysics of the Torah is true. It was revealed that this is the way things work metaphysically. So the Torah is the center to break through to higher dimensions. They don't have any of that. So that's there's between our 70 Skenim and their 60 elders. The Torah has this aspect of the seventh, which is the center that breaks through and that unites, and they don't have that. And this all relates to Hanukkah. We know the central vessel, the base where the miracle occurred was the seven-branched menorah, and the seven, which represents the light of Torah Shebaal Peh, that unites the whole Torah. We said the Gemara could see connections between all different topics, and cross-reference in amazing ways, showing that all different topics are all the same Torah, right? So the light of Torah Shebaal Peh and the seven-branch menorah, even though it was seven branches, right? There was the six, and then the centerpiece, it was made out of one solid piece of gold, that even though it branches out, it's still, the branching out is only on the surface because, in essence, it's made out of one single piece of gold. And to show how they are not in unity, that's why Rabbi Shua ben Hanania said, have 60 separate rooms. Each one's going to sit in a separate room. They're totally not in unity. We'll have 60 seats in each room because they think that they have unity. They don't even know what they're missing. They think they have unity, so each one will expect all his other friends to sit by him, but really they'll each one sit in a separate room. In secular wisdom, there is no unity, and let alone never reaches the depth where the Torah reaches.